Well, happy Wednesday. Good to see you. I appreciate you being out in the middle of the week on a cold, windy night. It's good to see you all. It really is. Well, we're excited about this upcoming weekend, and I do want to encourage you, please continue to pray that the word of the Lord would come forth that is needed for the state of Alabama and also for Grace House. My understanding is from what I've been told, Chuck will be ministering primarily to the state on Saturday as we gather from around the state. We're praying that we'll have people from all 67 counties, and it's going to be a good meeting. One of the focuses is to release a decree over the state of Alabama, and Ray and I are going to have a part of that on Saturday. He has a charge that he's written that's really beautiful and poetic, and I've worked on a decree that we'll be releasing, and they're going to ask people to take it back to their counties and release it as well. So that'll be part of our worship experience on Saturday morning, and Kent will be updating some things that's going on in the state as well. We're going to have some wonderful worship. And then Chuck Pierce, who is very apostolic, very prophetic, and very well known for his walk with the Lord. And he really has a unique relationship with the nation of Israel as well. He has a real acute sense of times and seasons. So he's proven over the years to be an accurate prophetic voice, and we are honored to have him here in Florence, and particularly to have him here at Grace House. On Sunday, my understanding is that he will be primarily ministering to Grace House. And so, you know, when the prophet's coming, you kind of get excited, and then you can be a little bit terrified. So, he'll have a good word for us, I'm sure. We want to come expecting. I do want to ask that those of you who might could help a little bit after the service concludes tonight, we're going to be bringing in, we have some of these chairs that are in the prayer room, healing room, in the riser room, and Pastor Derek, that's been taken care of. They're nearby. We want to bring them in. And we're going to add another front row in front of this one. That'll give us another 40 seats. And we've got a few places we're going to plug in. And then we have some other seating if need be on Saturday we'll add. But registration was closed yesterday. And we have more people than we have seats in the room right now registered. And then there will be a luncheon for 120 people. I don't think we've ever seated 120 people in our dining room before. So we're going to really know about the unity of spirit and the bond of peace in there. And it's going to be good. And Chuck Pierce and Ray Hughes will be ministering to our worship people during that time. And that registration is full, too. That's for our apostolic leaders around the state and worship leaders, pastors. And then there'll be some worship team members too. So it's a full weekend here, and God's up to something. And while I'm in announcement mode here, 2 weeks from tonight, Bob Kraft and his board from Reach a Village, and the more I spend time with Bob Kraft, the more my appreciation grows for for the global impact that's being made by Reach a Village. And Bob's a part of our family here, and but they are really in Asia. Just thousands of churches have been planted, and it's amazing what's happening. Well, their board's coming in for a week, their annual board, to meet. And so that's a big deal for them. They're going to be here on that Wednesday night. And from 5 to 6:15... and we're going to ask people to sign up for this. If you want, they're going to provide a meal for anyone who wants to come. They'll be in there. You can become more familiarized with their ministry. One of their team will minister to our young people on that Wednesday night. In here, Pastor Igor, and I would say his last name, but I need to be looking at it to halfway get it right. He's from Russia with a heart for China. And he, for 20 years, was slipping across the Chinese border where Russia and China come together and going in and ministering to China and sharing the gospel. He's got some powerful stories. I spent some time with him a few months back, got to know him. He is going to be here because since then he's had to leave Russia because his mother is Ukrainian, his father is Russian. He was conscripted to serve in the Russian military to go to war against his relatives. And so his family was in such a dilemma, they ended up getting out of the country, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but let me just say, they went to A, to B, to C, to D, to Mexico to get here. And now he's ministering from here and continuing his ministry to China through Reach a Village. We're going to be blessed by hearing from this brother 2 weeks from tonight. So tell your friends. I encourage you to come early. I don't know if they're going to have finger foods or the whole spread, but he said they're going to feed folks. I said, it could be a bunch. It's going to be kind of come and go. So more about that after we get past this weekend with all of its trimmings. And then a couple of weeks after that, Pastor Paul from Ukraine, who was with us last week, will be back with us. It's just kind of lined up this way. It's like the Lord is pollinating us from the nations in this season for this nation and the nations. So we are looking forward to what our church is going to receive, but also to be able to be a blessing to these people who are touching the nations in the way that they are. And then we'll have Easter coming up after that. We're going to have a 4-week emphasis here at Grace House leading up to Easter. The Lord's laid on my heart a series called The New Version of You. And for 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at that. And so I encourage you to pray concerning that as well. This summer, we have a brother by the name of Mike Hutchins, who has a real powerful, Dr. Mike Hutchinson, that will be here in July, a powerful inner healing ministry. We'll be doing a Friday night, half a day Saturday, then Sunday morning time with him. A lot of good things are coming, and we believe the Lord is sending what we need so we can be who we're supposed to be. Well, let me take the time I have remaining tonight, and I want to talk to you about the power of persistent prayer. The power of persistent prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus begins the story of the persistent widow who went before the unjust judge, and she kept going and kept going until he was just worn out, and finally he basically says, all right, I will render the verdict for you. Boom. And Jesus says that we should learn from that. If persistence could move an unjust judge, how much more can that persistence prayer move Father God, who loves us, who's for us, who's already working all things together for good for us? So the Bible teaches us the power of persistent prayer. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep praying. And the parable that follows about this widow, she had that one thing on her heart that she was determined she was going to get her breakthrough, and she held on to it with that bulldog grip. And I've shared with you before, Winston Churchill said God made a bulldog the way he did so he could hang on and still breathe. You know, so when we're talking about a bulldog grip, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. That she stayed in there till she got her answer. And I want to talk about that in a few minutes tonight. And I've got 3 questions here. God's reluctance. Is that what it's about? That we have to keep praying because God's reluctant? It's kind of like we've got to convince him to do something? I read X that idea. No, that's not it. God is for us. I mean, he's got a plan. He invites us into it. He wants it to be fulfilled. So I don't think you can just say, yeah, you just got to keep praying till you get so on God's nerves so much that he'll just relent. No, that may be true in the human dimension with folks like that unjust judge, but it's not true with your Father. He loves you and he's for you. And it's God who's working in you tonight, both to will and do according to his good pleasure. Well, is it because of the enemy's resistance? Now we're getting into some ground that you can camp on a little bit. Yes, that certainly has something to do with it. And that old, what kind of judge was he? An unjust judge. Maybe he was one that was corrupt and received bribes. And for him to rule in this woman's favor, he might have to rule against one of his cronies. He was unjust. Well, we've got an enemy out there that he's all about injustice, all about doing us in, all about opposing us, all about rising up against anything that's good, anything that's God, and any way that God wants to do something good in and through you. So, yes, some of it's about the resistance that we have to go through. We'll see that in a moment. But also, is it your persistence? Well, that's exactly part of what this says. You ought to pray and not lose heart, because that's the point. Because she did not give up, that judge did give in. And sometimes we need spiritual breakthrough, and there is demonic interference. There are traps that have been laid by the enemy that interfere. And our persistence, we can stay with it until we break through all of that. The atmosphere clears and we get our answer. So, yes, persistence is important. Now, when you talk about they ought to pray, this widow, again, obviously she had that particular one thing that she was needing a verdict on. So, sometimes we may hear teaching like, no, you just pray something one time and that's it. If you've got faith, that's it. I think that's true sometimes. But you'd have to trample under feet some scripture to make it true all the time, including this one we just read. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, that's just saying like Paul did, pray without ceasing. You should always be praying. Well, yes, we have those scriptures, but this parable is about a woman who kept going before the same judge with the same thing. So I believe that's more singular. There was something on her heart that she was needing a breakthrough for. So there is a place for repetitive prayers. They're scriptural. And, can it really be a prayer of faith if you pray it more than once? I'm not a formula guy on this kind of stuff. We're to be led by the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the saints. When the enemy moved against the early church in Acts 4, they came together and they began to pray, and the place was shaken where they were prayed, where they prayed, and what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness, and they went right back out and started doing the stuff that got them in trouble to start with. Their prayers related to overcoming the enemy and bringing God's power and breakthrough into a region. And so, yes, we should continually pray. It's not a lack of faith. It's an evidence of faith. I'm asking God to help with this. I'm going to God with this. I'm believing God's going to. He invites me to pray. He commands me to pray. Tells me to pray. So I'm going to pray. And the reason I'm praying is because I have faith that God's going to answer. Now, definitely, there are some times when you pray something and a peace of God comes, and an assurance, you're given some kind of assurance that can come in different ways. It can be from a scripture. It can be from something the Spirit's doing in you. It can be from a confirmation prophetically. It can be from a confirmation through a dream, other ways. But sometimes you may pray a prayer, and it's just like, heaven answers, then I've got this. It's taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. And you know, you don't have to go before the Lord about that anymore. It's done. It's done. But there are other things that you have to stay on the wall. You have to stay on the front lines. You have to stay in the trenches. And my personal viewpoint and belief on this, most of the time when that kind of stuff, this continual stuff's going on, it involves the will of someone else. If it just involves your will and you're praying for it and it involves your will, well, you just got to will. Do the right, make the right decision. You and God's in agreement. But if you're praying for something that involves a breakthrough in a child, a relative, a situation at work, somebody down at the hospital, and you're interceding for them, then there's a lot of other factors involved. You man the wall, and God is moving. He's orchestrating. That's intercession. So there's other things too, but I don't have time to get into that tonight. So are they necessary? Yes, they are. This scripture tells us they are. Next thing, Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is most of those verses. Let me read it. And this is the occasion in Daniel when he's praying, fasting, praying, going before the Lord. And look at what this verse tells us. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, this was when Daniel got his answer from the archangel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This is an angel. Withstood me 21 days. That scripture tells us, or told Daniel was being told, when you first prayed, God heard you and sent the answer. In other words, angels were required to usher in what God was going to do for Daniel. And this verse tells us they were met in the heavenlies. The king of Persia here is a reference to a, I believe, a principality, a ruler of darkness. And so there was spiritual warfare in the heavenlies between the earth and the third heaven, in the heavenlies, that warfare. And then, but the prayers of the saints and the warring of the angels partnered together with God for that breakthrough that came 21 days later. This was an intense time of intercession for Daniel. So this is the warfare of prayer. And this quote, the verse I quoted out of Ephesians 6, verse 17, 18 earlier, is in that section that talks about putting on all the whole armor of God. You know, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And he concludes by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. He goes on from there, but in other words, this is a continual praying in the Spirit. It's part of spiritual warfare. He mentioned those principalities in verse 12, and we get to verse 18, he brings in the role that prayer plays, and we see that in the situation Daniel was in. I believe it would push our buttons and throw our breakers if we could really see fully in the spirit realm of all that God is doing right now to respond to the prayers that the saints are praying. The angelic activity that's taken place, Hebrews chapter 1 teaches us that those angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those of us who are heirs of salvation. You, when you pray, there are times God will send angels, ministering spirit, to minister to you. We see this a few times in the life of Jesus, particularly at his baptism and at his time in Gethsemane, where angels come and minister to him. And after his temptation 40 days, and after he had been at war in the temptation with the enemy left for a season, and the angels came and strengthened and ministered to him. The angels have a role in ministering to you. They have a role in answering prayers and orchestrating circumstances in our life so that we get breakthrough. We're given little portholes that we can see into in the Gospels. For instance, the pool of water, where times the Lord would send an angel and stir the water, and the first one in the water would be healed. Well, that was just a myth. Well, it's in the Bible. I don't believe the Bible's a myth. The Bible clearly teaches God sends ministering angels. So apparently this angel was related to bringing healing by stirring. It was a merciful way God in that time could dispense his mercy of healing to people, and by them, and their faith was required to get in the water at the right time. Why did he do it that way? You can talk to him about that when you get there. But he uses angels. Our prayer, angelic ministry, all work together in this idea of intercessory travail and persistent prayer. And Daniel's case in point, Ephesians 6 is case in point, and other places as well. So there is a warfare around it. Now, persistent prayer isn't about twisting God's arm. It's about aligning our hearts with his will and waging spiritual warfare until we see breakthrough. Again, it's not about his reluctance. You know, it's about aligning with his will. What is God's will? It's what he wills to do. What he wants to do. What he desires to do. And as you've heard me say a number of times, we would will God's will if we had sense enough to know what to will. I mean, if we could see everything and how it really works and what our life's supposed to be, we would want God's will more than anything else. And God wants us to know his will. God wants us to do his will. He invites us into this partnership, and part of the role we play is praying prayers. I remember years ago, Dutch's book about intercessory prayer, and it's one thing that one of the first things I learned from Dutch that was really powerful for me is that there are some things that God will not do unless you ask him to do it. There are some prayers that simply will not be answered if they're not prayed. So that encourages us to pray, to press in, to be persistent. God wills to do something, but he wills to do a lot of those things in answer to prayer. Now, why would that be the case? Well, it goes back to the beginning. He put human beings here to be his under-regents in the earth. In other words, to oversee things in his stead under his authority. And God's a God of order. So when he sent Jesus, Adam messed it up. He sent Jesus to realign and get it working right again. And so God wants to work through the people he's put in charge down here to bring about what he wants to do. So we're involved in that process. You mean God couldn't do it without us? God chooses not to do it without us. God has chosen to put us here to pray prayers, to study his word that we might know his will, to walk with his spirit so we can learn his direction through his spirit to do the things he wants us to do. So that alignment, being under his authority, knowing who we are, knowing what his word says, then converting that into prayer and walking it out in obedience is how God gets a lot of stuff done on planet Earth. And there is a usurper against our efforts, just like the usurper that came into the garden against Adam and Eve. Same old snake, same old lies, same old trick ponies. He's still at it. But greater is he who is in me and who is in you than he who is in the world. And that's the light bulb that needs to go off. Who we really are in Christ. What we really have in Christ. And what we can really do in Christ. And prayer plays a role in this. Jesus was perfect, full of the Spirit, without measure, full of the gifts. But still, he would have to draw aside and spend time in prayer. And there was a hidden camera in a few of those prayer meetings, particularly in the Garden of Gethsemane. And who's he praying for primarily? For us. For those disciples. That's probably what he was doing most of the time when he was going up in the mountains. Getting away from the crowd to pray for the crowd. Getting away from people to pray for people. He came to die for people. He lived for people, died for people. Father's plan. The next thing I want to say is persistent prayer is about kingdom breakthrough. Heaven invading earth as taught in the Lord's Prayer. And I've shared with you, I began every day, out of bed, on my knees, pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, my Father who's in heaven, hallowed is your name. What? Your kingdom. What? Come. Your will be done. Where? On earth. How? As it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses. I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And the last part's really powerful. For it's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. That's why we're here, His glory, His kingdom. And it's His power that enables us to live the life that we want to live. He's the one who delivers us from evil. He's the one that keeps us from succumbing to temptation if we'll turn to Him. So that His will can be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. So time on our knees is time well spent. E.M. Bounds, that I used to read his book in my early days of ministry. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. People like Reith Howes, known as the great intercessor, that would wear out grooves in the wooden floor where he lived because of time spent on his knees. Prevailing, interceding, persistently praying for God's kingdom to manifest in his life. And I would ask, when is the last time that you've asked God and you prayed for his kingdom to manifest in your life? For his will to manifest in your life? For heaven to invade earth where you live? This is Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, that's a big part of it. I want you, when you're praying, I want you to understand that there is a connection that can occur by which the power of God that resides in heaven, where God's plans and purposes are fully known, can be unleashed into the realm of earth and manifest in the earth, so that my kingdom can come and my plans, my purposes, my desires, my will can be done on the earth. He's telling you and me that we're involved in bringing that about. By praying, we bring that about. It's more than just foxhole praying. I'm in a bind. I remember there's a God kind of praying. No, it's an intimate daily walk with God. The praying without ceasing to me is living with a conscious awareness of God's presence with you at all times, so that you live a conversational lifestyle with God. One thing I've been led to do lately is when I leave my house to come to church is to pray in tongues the whole way here. Just as a practice, just as a time, like when I get in the car and I pull out of the garage, then I'm reminded, okay, this is the time when I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Because it's easy to reach for the phone, turn the radio on, or do something like that. And you need some time every day you're praying in the Spirit. And I'm not saying it should just be, you know, that 7 or 8 minutes it might take you to get to work like it does me. But you need definite time when you're just praying in the Spirit. Let her rip, tater chip. You know, Holy Ghost, here I am. Use my tongue and start praying in the Spirit. It's powerful. It builds up your most holy faith. And it's a way that you can also persist in prayer. Well, I would pray more, but I'll run out of things to say. He doesn't. Pray in the Spirit. Well, I don't know how. Well, I just gave you a good reason. I don't do that. Well, I just gave you a good reason you ought to. Now, another thing is persistent prayer is not arm twisting. It's not arm twisting. Again, it's not arm twisting. I already said that once, but it's got a different ending. It's about soldiers manning their stations. Sometimes you need to think of prayer in a military way, as a soldier manning the wall. Soldiers getting together to storm the gates. When Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, sometimes we want to have the picture that the church is behind the gates and hell can't get to us. No, the gates represents all the imprisonment that hell represents and all the blindness and boundness that Satan and his minions bring into humanity. And the church is the one that storms the gates of hell so that people are liberated, so they're set free. And sometimes to get to the people, other walls have to be torn down. You know, like Jericho walls. You know, the stuff that's between what the people need and the God whom they need. Our prayer begins to clear the land of that. You have foot soldiers, but you have the air power. You drop some of those Scud missiles in, you know, through intercession and blow up some of the devil's stuff. Persistent prayer is about a fighter who refuses to tap out. Now, some of you guys may have watched UFC, the mixed martial arts, you know, the whole tapping out thing in wrestling or in mixed martial arts. You know, it's where you get somebody in such a bind, they're hurting so much, they do that. That means it's over. They tap out. The scripture says, prayer warriors, never tap out. Never tap out. Never throw in the towel. Never give up. Persistent prayer is about knowing the next prayer may be the one that brings the breakthrough. And again, this is where your faith comes in. What did that scripture say we started with? I'm right now through, so Andrew, you can come up. Rachel, whoever's our worship team. Men ought always to pray, and what? Not to faint. Another version says, or not lose heart. That's that tapping out. It's the idea, I'm going to keep praying. The next prayer I pray may be the one that brings the breakthrough. Now, I used to build houses, and for 5.5 years I was in industrial construction. Part of that time I was doing field engineering, and part of that time I was doing whatever they needed doing. And many days I spent with a 90-pound jackhammer with a carbon tip on it, busting concrete. I'm talking about that kind that's already been poured like 25 years ago. And now they decided it's in the wrong place and it's got to be moved so something else can be put there. You take a 90-pound jackhammer with all that air power going through it, bouncing up and down on the concrete all day long. I mean, after 8 hours of that, you didn't even know if you had fingers on your hands. Of course, I was in my 20s then, and you know, I could handle it. Busted up a lot of concrete. But you learn something. You put that 90-pound hammer on that concrete, it just bounced like a rubber ball, and nothing happening. You think, I'm getting nowhere. You stay on it long enough, you keep at it, then you start seeing a little fissure crack. Then some start chipping out. Oh, then it starts happening. Starts chipping out on you. But then you get down in there good, and there will come a time when it just begins to break apart and just fall apart, and you get all the way through. That's a picture of prayer sometimes. It's laborious. It can be rigorous, particularly when you've got a burdened heart and you're travailing, because a lot of times, you know, it's situations like this. I started to get on my knees, but I'm not going to do that tonight. You get in situations where you know that if something doesn't happen, if God doesn't do something, it's going to be bad. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's marriage is going to fall to pieces. Somebody's child is going to lose their life to overdose. Somebody's kids aren't going to be fed because of alcohol. All kind of things. I mean, heavy duty. In your grill type of stuff. This is the persistent prayer. It's so needed. But I'm not going to tap out. I so care, I'm so burdened, I so desire to see that transformation in that person's life, I'm going to man the wall and stay on my knees for them. And thank God we got a lot of people in this church that are persistent prayer warriors. We've got folks that for years, haven't missed a beat praying for things that we're beginning to see. And I tell you, we wouldn't be beginning to see some of the things that we're seeing and are going to see if it wasn't for all that faithful prayer that has cleared the way. Because that's God's way. So thank you, prayer warriors. Thank each of you who pray for this congregation, for our leadership, for your pastors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It matters. It seriously matters. It makes a difference. This city can be, and I believe will be, significantly impacted by a powerful move of God, and your prayers play a big role in that. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done, and may we never, ever, ever tap out in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a hand. Aren't you glad he didn't tap out? Aren't you glad he didn't call for those angels to rescue him off the cross? Aren't you glad he didn't give up in Gethsemane? Aren't you glad he went to the final breath and breathed it out to do God's will? But look what happened because he did. Thank you, Jesus. I want our prayer team members to come. If you have need of prayer tonight, if God's touching your heart about something, you need someone to agree with you, feel free to come up. Father God, I thank you for the simplicity of your word. Lord, basically tonight, we've heard your word saying we need to be praying people and we don't need to stop praying. And Lord, thank you that you say in your word you value prayer, that you answer prayer, that you want us to pray. We know it's your will. We know that good things happen when we do your will. And I pray tonight, Lord, for every one of us in this room, that this week ahead of us would see us on our knees more often, would see us praying more fervently, that we'd be returning the promises of God's word to you through prayer, that we'd be manning the walls, storming the gates, listening, praying in the Spirit. Father, help us to be like this persistent widow in Luke 18. Knowing we have a good Father that's hearing and responding. And thank you, Lord, that there's no legion of demons that can keep your answer from arriving if we pray the way we're supposed to pray and believe the way we're supposed to believe. Thank you so much. I agree with the psalmist, Father, who said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We're coming to you tonight, Lord. Thank you that you're a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, would you just come on up? Thank you for being here tonight. This altar is open for you if you have need of prayer. God bless you. And we want to respect this altar area, but at the same time, we need to be bringing these chairs in to get set up for Saturday. And those of you in the altar, if it gets a little too noisy, feel free to go off to the side there. And I think we can all do what we need to do tonight to get ready. Thank you for being here. And if you can help, I think we have chairs. I see some back there. There may be some on both sides. I don't know. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.